It's so good to pray, and that's what we're going to think about this morning. What is prayer? What can we learn from what Jesus taught his disciples about prayer? And so let's listen to today's passage read to us from by Luke, who is in the room here. But here we go. Over to Luke.
Okay, ready when you are.
I'm ready.
Off you go then.
This reading is from the book of Luke, who has the same name as me. This is chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him." Suppose the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you though, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless
audacity,
he'll surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Superb. Let's give Luke a round of applause. That was so well read. Fantastic. Brilliant. Thank you so much. I don't know if you noticed in that reading, there was a little story Jesus told to illustrate prayer. And what he said, the example he gave was, he said, it was encouraging perseverance in prayer. Keep praying about things. Because if you went and woke up a friend of yours in the middle of the night and asked for food, then they'd give it to you, not because of your friendship, just because you're cheeky enough to ask, because of your shameless audacity, he said. And I was thinking, I don't know how true that is. Like, if I woke up a friend, would they get up and give me food? I don't know. What I decided was I'd try it. And so this is me.
Morning, everyone. It's just after 6 a.m. It's the earliest I've been up in a long time. But I'm hungry, and I fancy some breakfast. Let's see if a good friend of mine is awake. I doubt he is. Wake up, it's a beautiful morning. Wake up, feel the sunshine and pour your eyes. Wake up. Here we are. We're here in the house. We're here. This is great, exciting. Hello. This one, all right. Okay, right. Here we go. Right.
Morning, Josh. Josh, wake up. Wake up, Josh. Wake up. It's time to get up.
Why are my rooms?
For fun. This is why we do these things.
At 6:30 on a Monday morning.
Yeah. And you're on annual leave as well, aren't you?
is it staff team this morning?
Yeah, go on. Let's have a staff team meeting. Come on. Up you get. So I was just thinking about that story where Jesus
talks about a man waking up his friend, and it says because of his shameless audacity, the man gets up and gives him food. So I thought you could get up and give me some food. Is that right?
sounds perfect. That's good. Exactly what I want to do at 6:30.
Okay. Well, we'll let you get dressed and then see you downstairs in a few minutes.
See you for breakfast.
See you for breakfast. Cheers, mate.
Right, here we are. Here we are. Josh, you're awake.
Here we are, more or less.
More or less.
The thoughts on the dressing gown, everyone.
Very, very nice. So you need to make me some food, if that's all right.
Yeah.
What do you want? What do you want
breakfast
to
options. Well, we've got half a bagel.
Half? Very kind.
It's been there a while, so...
Okay, maybe not that one, then. Yeah. I'll have some toast, please, actually, I think.
Some toast,
and
I'll have to get a toast.
What are you... Yeah. Where'd you keep it? In the garage? No, oh, right.
No, it's just in here.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
Would you like a drink, Simon?
Yes, definitely. Yes, please.
Alright. I was hoping you'd say no, really. tea, coffee, orange juice?
I think I'll have coffee and an orange juice, if that's okay.
Of course you will. Instant?
Hey, what's that machine there? What's that doing there?
I have to get Dave out of bed too.
Do you know how to use the coffee machine?
Cappuccino machine. I do, to be fair. I could make you a cappuccino.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Oh,
like a pro. This is the most faffiest coffee I've ever had in my life.
This guys. Not started yet. Your toast is done, by the way.
Oh, so there we are. Look at this. Look at this little treat. I've gone for some cranberry and orange curd on half of it, and then some jam on the other. We've got an orange juice, coffee. Josh, you've been the best host.
Well,
thank you.
What can I say?
I mean, this is weird, isn't it? Because now it's over to you for the sermon.
Maybe I'll wear this.
right, ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for Josh.
Go on, Josh.
Sorry, Josh.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning to those at Parkway as well, those watching at home. What a way to start, eh? What a way to start. I did consider wearing the dressing gown this morning, actually. Thought it would have gone nicely with a good pair of Christian sandals. But the rain put me off, unfortunately. So I just went for a shirt and jeans instead. Sorry, everyone. But yeah, shameless audacity. Shameless audacity. I think Simon summed up those words quite well there. But I hope it all gave you a good laugh. But we'll come back to Simon and his shameless audacity a little bit later, if that's all right. But I wanted to start at the beginning of Jesus' prayer here, of the Lord's Prayer. And actually, what a privilege it is to have this bit of scripture, the Lord's Prayer. I don't know about you, but it's really easy to just sort of switch off when we hear it. If you've been around church for a while, you've probably heard it loads of times. Even when we were saying it then, it felt quite as our Father, and it can get really slow and really. It's easy to just kind of just say it without really meaning it, isn't it? But actually, prayer is so central to the Christian life. Communication with God is so key to our relationship with Him. And here we have Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, teaching us to pray. So I don't want to see any eyes glazing over this morning. Kids, you're in the service with us, so you've got a very special job this morning. If you see any adults who are just starting to look a little bit sleepy or whatever, just give them a little elbow in the ribs, all right? You've got my permission to do that. But yeah, I wanted to start with the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, particularly the line, "Hallowed be your name." And if anything, actually, that's the bit that most makes me want to fall asleep. But hallowed is just such an old sounding word, isn't it, really? Does anyone else hear that and think of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows? Hallowed be your name. I don't know. That's what comes to my mind. I mean, I'm not even that much of a Harry Potter fan, really. I've seen the films once, but that was during lockdown in Peru, so they're all in Spanish, so I'm a bit hazy on the finer details of the plot. But I don't think Jesus is referencing Harry Potter here. And the key thing to note is that Jesus begins his prayer in a place of worship. Do you know, I think it's... really easy. Do you know, actually, yeah, sorry. In the version that we learned before, it said, "Holy is your name." In other words, God, you are set apart. There is no one like you. You are mighty. You are sovereign. You alone are God. And that's such an important place to begin our prayer in. I think it's really easy sometimes to view God as like just a big vending machine or some sort of like supernatural Amazon Prime, just like there waiting to take our order, to meet our needs, to fulfill our demands. And I think that's why Jesus puts this line first in the prayer, because it sets God at the center, not us. It reminds us of how great God is and how small we are in comparison to him. So let's not rush past this first line. When we're praying, when we're having our quiet time, when we're reading our Bible, when we're walking down the street, let's take time to praise God for who he is, to worship him, to give him glory before we just, you know, just rush in with our demands, our prayers. Hallowed be your name. And then what comes next? Can anyone remember what comes after hallowed be your name? What's the next line? Someone help me out. You learned it a minute ago. Oh, there's a hand there. Your kingdom come. Amazing. Your kingdom come. I've got a question for you. I wonder, what's your ideal Friday night or Friday afternoon? Let's say you've been at work all week, you've been at school all week, you might have had lots of homework, might have been a busy week at work, but you've made it to the weekend, you've got a bit of time to relax. What would be your ideal Friday night? Just have a 20-second chat with your neighbour. What's your ideal Friday afternoon, Friday night? All right, so I'm going to interrupt you there. Sorry, not much time, I know. I remember my classic Friday evening or Friday afternoon. I used to love getting home from school on a cold day and just making a hot chocolate, a few marshmallows, a bit of FIFA on the Wii, actually. They were the days. Couldn't beat it. but, you know, I was thinking about this, actually, the other week as I was walking down to the Mix, which is our Friday night youth group. It was about 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. I was walking past Waitrose and there was, you know, people coming out with their trolleys full of wine and nice steaks and that sort of thing. And then like people were kind of arriving at the bakehouse, the pubs were filling up. And that like nice classic Friday evening activities. And like part of me was like, oh, actually that looks quite nice. I quite fancy that. But then at the same time, there was people coming down to church on a Friday night to cook for a bunch of young people, to spend time chatting with a bunch of young people, to invest in the next generation, to provide a safe space for them to be themselves, to be loved. And what I'm not at all trying to say here is that it's wrong to enjoy your Friday evenings, to spend time with your friends and family, to relax, to do things you enjoy. That's all good things. But I do think that this line of the prayer, this prayer, your kingdom come, is a prayer that requires action. It requires sacrifice. It requires us to step out of our comfort zones. Because it's all well and good praying, you know, oh God, your kingdom come. I pray that your will be done. I pray that people would come to know you, Jesus. It's good to pray that. It's here in the Lord's Prayer. But we can't just leave it at that. How can we pray for that and then sit back and not do anything when there's people like, on our road, in our town, who don't know Jesus? And I'm preaching to myself here as much as to anyone else. But if we want to see Jesus be Lord in people's hearts and in people's lives, then we need to live out his teaching. We need to love God with everything we've got, love our neighbor as ourself. Your kingdom come. Let's not be people that live just for the weekend and for a nice kind of comfy life with a bit of Christianity on the side. Let's be people who live to see God's kingdom come here on earth. Your kingdom come. And yet at the same time, that is a prayer that requires action on our part, but it's still a prayer that's completely dependent on God. At the end of the day, he's in control. Only he determines who ultimately accepts Jesus as their Lord, as their Savior. He reigns and he does what he wants. He does absolutely what he wants. And you know what? That would be a really terrifying thought, wouldn't it? This God who is powerful and just does what he wants. If it wasn't for that word right at the start of the Lord's Prayer, can I remember the word right at the start of the Lord's Prayer? There's another hand there. hallowed, nearly, it was actually right before that, the word before hallowed, Father. Father. We, on our youth weekend away a few weeks ago, there might be a little picture, there we are. What a good bunch of people, eh? But on that weekend, our sort of theme for the weekend was the question, who is God? And that's a massive question to answer. I mean, where do you even start with that? But actually, here we've got Jesus, God's own son, talking to the creator, eternal God. And what clue does he give us as to his identity? Well, what does he call him? Father. And I realize that, you know, that's a word that can trigger a whole range of emotions. For me, that's a very positive word, but I appreciate it's not the same for everyone. But there was a brilliant little clip in one of the Youth Alpha videos that we've been watching recently that talks a bit more about what it means for God to be our Father. So I thought we'd just give that a little watch now.
God as Father, you know, if you come from a background like me that's like somewhat of a stumbling block sometimes, being a father, one, and then two, like my own experiences with my own father, and you know, the term just carries so much baggage. I guess there was a moment where I really did have to make a conscious decision to inform my personhood and just really trust the scriptures for my identity. But I think in a lot of ways, at least for my story, is that God as a father really gave me something in a very selfish but tangible way, something to be proud of, something to look back and say, but this is who I am. I think the passion and the personal knowledge and relationship with him kind of comes from the fact that even in that position of a global, universal kind of ruler who still took time to stoop down and identify me specifically gives me a sense of sonship and a sense of belonging and family. So living that freeness, that goodness, like I would hate for my daughter to think that like, if she failed a test at school or got sent to the principal's office somehow or another, she's any less my daughter, like, or I'm somehow so disappointed in her that she's no longer a part of my family. That's ridiculous. You're my daughter. I love you regardless. You know what I'm saying? So you belong. So now from that, we can work on, you know what I'm saying, you making better choices. But this doesn't change your status with me. You know what I mean? And I think if we got to keep that in the front of our minds, that these things don't change our status with the Father. Like, you're good. You're loved still. You know what I'm saying? And there's no amount of mistakes that can change that.
What a joy, eh, to come to God in prayer, secure in the knowledge that he is our Father, that he loves us, that he cares for us. So coming back to Simon, back to his shameless audacity, you know, will we always get what we ask for? Like Simon, you know, woke me up and asked for coffee and orange juice and got not even any old coffee, but a full-on cappuccino, which incidentally, the machine hasn't been working since Monday, so I'm not quite sure what I did, but yeah, prayers are appreciated. But you know, if God's our Father, then he'll always give us what we ask for, surely. If he really loves us, you know, it even says that in his word, everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, to the one who knocks, it will be opened. So it's funny, I remember when I was in year 7, actually I was thinking about this, and then I was like, wow, actually some people might not have been born when I was in year 7, and I feel I'm quite young, I think. Who here was born after 2009? Hands up if you were born after 2009. After 2009, there's a few hands going up. Okay, right, so this happened before you guys were born. This is like ancient history. But basically, when I was in year 7, when I was in primary school, no one had a phone. It wasn't common for anyone to have a phone. But when you got to secondary school, everyone had a phone. Everyone had a phone, except me. And I really wanted a phone. I know, it's quite tough. Not really for what you can do with a phone, more just because everyone else had a phone and I wanted to fit in and be like everyone else. But my parents had decided, you know, it wasn't time yet for me to have a phone. I think Abby, my older sister, didn't get a phone until she was a bit older. So it wouldn't be fair for me to have one in year 7. And I would protest and say, oh, yeah, but it's not fair. Like, everyone else has got a phone. I'm the only person who hasn't got a phone. And they would quite rightly, in fairness, point out that not literally everyone else
had a phone. It's, you know, the classic like parent line. It's like, oh no, but you know, Callum doesn't have a phone either. And it's like, oh yeah, but that's not the point. Everyone cool's got a phone, and I don't. So sorry, Callum. but you know, I suffered through this traumatic stage of year seven. And eventually I got my own phone. And actually, you know, like everything else that we pin our hopes on and think is going to deliver us like ultimate satisfaction, it wasn't all that. And you know, actually looking back now, I can appreciate some of the lessons I learned in that time. I can, see the value of learning to not always just fit in, to not always get what you want. I can see why my parents wouldn't want to always give me like everything that I asked for. You see, if we ask our parents for unlimited donuts, the answer will probably, hopefully, be no. And not because they don't love us, but because it wouldn't be good for us. And it's really important as well, actually, to remember what Jesus is actually talking about here in this story. If we go to verse 13, what does verse 13 says? It says, "If you then who are evil," let's go with this version. "If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" I wonder if we could have more of one thing in our lives, what would we go for? More, I don't know, more foreign holidays would be lovely. More, maybe like an unlimited food voucher you could use at like any restaurant in the world. But actually, how many of us would ask for more of the Holy Spirit? But it's through the Holy Spirit that we experience God's love in our hearts and in our lives. It's through the Holy Spirit that we receive power to conquer sin and Satan. It's through the Holy Spirit we receive gifts for ministry, for blessing others. It's through the Holy Spirit that we can bear fruit, that we can show love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, help me out, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Like, those are qualities that I need more of in my life. Those are qualities that as Christians, if we want to be living to see God's kingdom come, then we want to be living them out each day and showing them to the people around us. So let's claim this promise of God. Let's channel some of Simon's shameless audacity, not in seeing how many free breakfasts we can get, but actually in seeing more of God's Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Let's keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking on God's door, asking for more of his Holy Spirit at work in our lives, to bring us to our knees before Jesus and to empower us, to equip us to build his kingdom here on earth. "If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we worship you this morning. We praise you. We say, holy is your name. There is no one like you, God. Your kingdom come. We ask for your kingdom to come here on earth, here in Welling Garden City, God. We ask for people who don't know you to come to know you, Jesus. We pray that you would nudge us, move us to act in those people's lives, those situations that you've put us in. We pray for your Holy Spirit, that we would bear fruit to those around us, that we would be effective witnesses for you, God, and give us the shameless audacity of Simon to keep asking you, keep seeking you each day, keep being bold and persistent in our prayers to you. Thank you, God, that you hear us, that you are our Father. Amen.